This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Bill Gormley. Bill Gormley is the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Bill is a long esteemed career in government procurement, both working for the federal government and the General Services Administration, and as the president of Washington Management Group and Fed Sources. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger.
Hey, Bill, you know, you just reminded me before we got on the air is that last time you were here, you were having a grandchild. And, you know, lo and behold, you just had another grandchild last week and you're back again. So,
Well, the good news, it was one of our other children.
Right. So yeah. Like,
but anyway, thank you. We had a fourth grandchild, Nicole, and Matt and Jen, the parents, are doing well, thank you. And the baby just came home yesterday before the severe weather we're supposed to be having this week. Yeah.
Okay, so when should we warn your kids next time we schedule a show that, yeah, hey, look, you know, be careful?
We don't want to go too far here on this. But anyway, it's great to be here.
Okay. Hey, today I wanted to talk a little bit about, well, first of all, you know, when we stop and think of where we are, it's towards the end of the fiscal year. That's always a busy time for government agencies and contractors, and you know, support and buying products and services to meet mission requirements. But you know, this year, as in the last couple of years, there's been the budgetary pressures and the issue of the deficit, and you know, what we have looming is sequestration and potential cuts. And you know, the president came out with the report. Was it this week or last week? I guess it was last week. So, you know, I guess from our perspective, being procurement geeks or wonks or whatever you want to call us, I think we ought to focus a little bit, have a conversation about savings and how can the system be improved to provide savings to the government, savings to industry, and ultimately savings to the American taxpayer. And I'm just going to open up. What comes to mind, Bill?
Well, we talk about savings. Obviously, it gets everyone's attention, and probably more so in the current environment we're in based on the deficit, Roger. But I guess we could actually do a series, talk about savings, but I guess we'll try and do this in one setting, right?
Yeah, well, it could be a 3 or 4 part show, actually.
All right, well, if you don't mind, I'll get started. Yeah, I think part of it, I think in some cases, probably like a lot of things in life, I think we the government and collectively and everyone's kind of thinking too hard about savings. And I think there is opportunity for, you know, that, not with that, the old adage of it's a low hanging fruit here, but I think it's really, there's two key opportunities, Roger, we can talk about here. One, we have an ongoing dialogue about contract duplication. And I know, having myself been a former contracting officer and interfaced a lot with the procurement community during our time in government, that for some folks, there's a need to have ownership of what they're buying as far as the contract vehicle or the instrument. And I think there's got to be some point in time where we're going to have to get over that as a acquisition community and really recognize, you know, the current administration's talking about a lot about strategic sourcing. And strategic sourcing in and of itself can take place by having fewer contracts. And I think the government.
Well, you're talking about strategic acquisition there, right? In a certain sense.
You could go.
Or
from
one version of that, it.
That's
right?
One way to look at it, strategic sourcing to strategic acquisition. That's a great term. And.
Well, hey. Know, somebody, right? Gave me that idea somewhere,
know,
along,
right,
the way.
So, anyway, but seriously, along those lines of of contract duplication, there the government in many cases is running the government on a daily basis is basically acquiring commercial solutions to do that. And my roots are the Schedules program. While I'm an advocate of the Schedules program, also realistic to know that it doesn't cover all needs of the federal government. And having said that, the Schedules do cover, currently over $50 billion today. And I think that could be leveraged significantly higher with significant savings. And there's a part two to this, so I don't forget it. I'm going to get to as far as savings under the Schedules. But contract duplication could be reduced significantly by GSA. And I think they're doing a top-down review. We can maybe talk about that if we get time, Roger.
Sure.
But I think it's also... OFPP, I think Joe Jordan is new there. It's a great opportunity. You have a fresh person in that position, and I think they can start focusing on contract duplication and thereby leveraging the government's requirements in a different way, other than everybody doing their own contract. And by the way, awarding contracts to the same companies, multiple contracts to the same companies for the same solution.
Right, and with different terms and conditions, a little bit, but that actually is what increases the costs. And, I know Dan Gordon issued his, before he left, he issued a memo requiring business case analysis for creation of new contracts. But I think it was a good first step, but it didn't actually, one of my concerns about it is it didn't quite really focus on the role of the Schedules and meeting commercial requirements in particular. I think that's an area, what you think, whether that's an area where, that could be strengthened.
I think the OFPP has a role to play here, obviously, and I think from a management standpoint, they need to use the current deficit. Unfortunately, may be a way of leveraging some greater reform than occurred under previous administrations in the field of acquisition, and hopefully they'll do that within the.
Sort of like necessity is the mother of invention kind of thing.
It's, you can go right there. You got it. But I mean, there's such an opportunity and to reduce the number of contracts, I think should, and I hate mandates because I think that doesn't result in everything you're looking for. But I think, it's close to a need for the government to put the word out that, hey, we need to question why we're issuing these RFPs in our agencies or departments and understand that it is, as I learned when I was in the Air Force and used to work on aircraft and the pilots used to come out and we used to talk about the, what was the quality of work that we performed on this aircraft. And we'd look up at the side of the airplane and it had U.S. on it. He said, "That is us, right?" And I'm like, "So if you can," I never forgot that. And I said, "Yes, sir." And we get on the plane together to fly away. Right. but the point is, it is the U.S. government. And I think that's where, people need to, in OFPP, I think, could take a clear leadership role along with GSA and the procurement executives. There's too much work to be done across the board in the procurement community, and I think contract duplication would be a good first step to reduce the overall cost and increase savings to the taxpayers.
Right. Well, one of the things that I want to get your thoughts on is, do you believe contract duplication does it in fact reduces competition? In my view, I think you agree with me, but I'll get your thoughts on that.
Well, contract duplication, I think. Part of the challenge here, I mean, it's an easy statement to make. Someone's listening, "Hey, Gormley, you say reduce contract duplication. What does it mean?" Part of the what has to be addressed here for any procurement is the development of requirements. And the government's acquiring, as I said earlier, a lot of the same solutions to run the daily needs and wants of government. And I think the value that the Schedules bring is broad definition of capabilities of the private sector. And I think the more the government customers can go to a source like that and start to leverage it, then the better it is and more cost effective it is for government. So I think, to your question, it increases costs to government while the government's appropriated in many cases and it's funding, but they could leverage their resources a lot better internally by by focusing more attention on unique requirements and fulfilling their commercial needs through the schedules program.
Doesn't it? Well, my point is, doesn't it unnecessarily divide the market? I mean, when you stop and think about the schedules program, let's use that as an example. If agencies are awarding individual contracts that, you know, could theoretically, that essentially are contracts for the same services or products that are on the GSA schedules, in that manner, it divides the market and it takes, in certain sense, sales out of the schedules program. So how can the schedules then turn around and say, I want to get a better price from somebody at the contract level when, you know, the company X turns and says, well, you know, the market used to be, $10 billion or let's say, $100 million for a particular product. And now because the agency X is a big buyer and they've done their own contract, the market shrunk to $50 million.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question that to your point, by the government, the more contracts that are duplicated for the same type of solutions, reducing the opportunity for the overall government to get a better deal. And in the case of the schedules program, it would reduce market share. And I know there are, some agencies or departments that are looking to go outside the BPA and do IDIQs for the exact same products or services under schedule. And by taking market share away from the schedules program, that agency and department is not thinks they're helping themselves, but the overall, I think we still have the taxpayer to focus on here. And I think the more common sense in government procurement, as you probably heard that around here.
I've heard that.
Okay. And I think that needs to apply that throughout the course of all acquisitions. And that could lead me into another conversation.
Well, Bill, but first we do, I have market share to worry about here, and I do have to take a break. But when we return, we'll be talking more to Bill Gormley, Chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And we'll be talking about, cost savings, opportunities for cost savings in the federal procurement system. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Bill Gormley. Bill is the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And we've been talking about our procurement system and, opportunities for cost savings. And, Bill, during the break, you said that you have some low-hanging fruit that you really think could be a multiplier for savings in federal government procurement. So I'm going to just say, okay, what are they?
I'm not sure it's going to be fruit cocktail or what it was, and we'll get it going here. Having been in the market for quite a while here from both sides of the aisles, I shouldn't be amazed, but I am still, that the amount where OFPP, Congress, senior executives in acquisition talk about training of the acquisition workforce. I mean, and I recognize people are coming in as new employees every day, retiring and going to the private sector or just retiring from federal acquisition, every day as well, pretty much. So there's a turnover there, but I am concerned about the senior management in government and their approach to looking for savings. And while training comes up as a necessity, whether it's procurement or program management training, I think what kind of is almost gets to the level of astounding me is the lack of information or knowledge that the senior management has about the various aspects of procurement. And in particular, Roger, I would take a position that and I think it could be as firm as anybody would want to argue it. While they may think they're right too, is I think proper training within the agencies and departments in the government on just the schedules program alone program alone, which has been around since 1949, you
right,
know,
right.
And it's in, you know, the ordering procedures in FAR 8.4, fairly straightforward, pretty simple to use, and that was intended that way. How many senior management don't understand and taking the time to understand the value of the schedules program, and they glaze over that by saying, you know, the prices aren't fair and reasonable, or they can always beat the prices. Well, you know, the intent of the program is to have the contracts awarded at a fair and reasonable price and for the customer to negotiate a better deal. So I think there's at least a 10 to 15.
Not only is that designed that way, that's what Congress wanted it to be. They passed a law saying you got to have, you know, requiring competition for certain dollar value orders. I mean, Congress has spoken in that they see that as the way the model ought to work. And there is some issue of the understanding of actually how it works.
Yeah. Well, I know people like to have, some people like to have their own DNA on changes. And I think we need to move away from some of that and start to kind of bring the community together in a united way from the standpoint of, you know, what do we have? How can we use it better? And I think the results, the objectives of this administration, and whether there's a change in administrations or not over the next few years, you could really have a significant impact on cost savings. And I would say at least 10 to 15% by the increased use of the schedules program throughout government.
You mean built on a foundation of training on how to effectively use it,
exactly,
understanding the ordering procedures, yeah, and leveraging that competition, and yeah, even doing BPAs off the schedules consistent with what the FAR allows you to do to basically leverage recurring requirements and compete a BPA amongst the scheduled contractor whole.
Yeah, I think pretty much anyone who ends up saying that the schedules do not offer fair and reasonable pricing, that begins, in my mind, perception, if nothing else, of the individual who really hasn't taken the time to understand the program. We could debate the program in any way anybody would like to, but the pricing is pretty clear. You get the best deal commercially or in government when there is a firm requirement, and that you put that requirement out so it's understood and it's clear, you will get the best price in the market at that time. So, you know, within, you know, the scope of what you're looking for, the schedules program is going to provide you I'll put it this way. You will not find a program that's going to be better than the schedules program. It may be like the schedules program, but that's through additional cost.
Well, there's many programs that have tried to, you know, essentially emulate the GSA schedules program.
Exactly.
So you have other low hanging fruit that you...
Well, I think that's the lowest hanging. I think the contract duplication we talked about. I think the use of the credit card should continue. Point of sale discounts is of value there. I think the way the government can, you started to chip away at some of them, the blanket purchase agreements. I would argue that the schedules program in of itself is a strategic sourcing acquisition vehicle for agencies to use to really get a better deal on requirements that are reoccurring on their end.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned requirements. I think that's another area I'd like to get your thoughts on that. I mean, it seems to me another big area for opportunity in the government is better definition of requirements. I mean, I talk to contractors every day, and that's a big issue in terms of you know, getting a better price, you know, having robust competition, the clearer you communicate the requirements, the better off you are. I mean, I think, you know, to his credit, Dan Gordon in the Mythbusters campaign was about communication in the requirements development phase.
Yeah, Dan Gordon, I think, in his objective was spot on. And I think he also realized that it's difficult to change the procurement community through the issuance of a memorandum of some sort. And I think that's where the earlier points of our discussion were training. And I think GSA plays a role here. I mean, I know Dan Tangerlini is conducting or has just completed a top-down review throughout the organization for ways GSA can save the government money. And I think from that top-down review, I think it would be pretty clear that I know, Roger, you've been a proponent of ODC's other direct costs being inserted into the schedules program or be allowed in there by GSA. And I raise a point here, by GSA not inserting ODCs in the schedules program, in of itself, GSA could be viewed as increasing contract duplication throughout government.
So why is that?
Well, because the government can't get it, all of its requirements fulfilled under a schedules program, which the companies who have scheduled contracts have the capability, but all those capabilities aren't under their contract. There may be some open market aspects to a requirement, and therefore, you know, the contractor then would be in violation of their contract. I know the Office of Inspector General would be interested to know that. So people are trying to do contract. They're trying to be diligent in contract compliance on their end, the contractors, and I think the ODCs. And I am totally mystified why GSA has not been able to issue this over the past 18 or 24 months. So I hope Dan Tangerlini recognizes in some fashion. We know he's not going to walk in a short period of time and pick up ODC with all the... It's on his plate right now. But getting back to my earlier point on senior management in certain positions should recognize that taking that action of itself will in fact immediately reduce contract duplication.
Right, and I think, you know, to your point, it's not a radical change. This is a change that's already contemplated by the FAR and actually addressed in the FAR for commercial item contracts, that you can have materials and other direct costs added at the task order on commercial item IDIQ contracts. And is just taking that authority and that capability in a certain sense and enhancing the schedules program for customer agencies, ultimately for the taxpayer.
Yeah, I think that's what we're all talking about here as a taxpayer. And I think ODCs, from my perspective, is basically an administrative change to the schedules program. And I think this is where, you know, one thing I have found favor of in this administration is that they are going after how can we reduce the complexity of government and the rules and so forth. This is a great target of our. It's almost fallen off the tree. It's right. So right.
Okay. Well, on that note, Bill, we do have to take another break. Okay. But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Bill Gormley, chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Bill Gormley. Bill is the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and we've been talking about our procurement system and opportunities for savings. And, you know, Bill, I got to challenge you on one of these things. You talked a little bit about 10 to 15% savings via effective use of the schedules, you know, built on training of the acquisition workforce on the actual ordering procedures and how they work. How do you get that number, 10 to 15%?
That's a good question.
Well, okay, yeah, I'm waiting for the answer, Bill.
Yeah, I appreciate the challenge. Hey, here's the deal. I think, you know, I'm going to go in my operational mode here. Everything works in a classroom. I'll just say academically, people are like, you know, strategic sourcing, reduce the cost of acquisition. And those are great initiatives. But when you apply, when you become an 1102, a contracting officer, and all this comes raining down on you, you know, your attention span to any procurement becomes less and less, so to speak, because you're having to pay more attention to all these changes in rules and regulations. And at the end of the day, Roger, I think the federal government has a great procurement system overall. And I think what we've lost track of is what's right in front of us. And in my earlier statement of 10 to 15%, I mean, anyone should be able to save that much, depending on the size of the requirement, obviously. But And then ultimately, you get to a number of a percentage of saving. No matter how much you're going to put on a company, they can only discount so far as well. But I think the schedules program offers the government the opportunity to save money. And what I meant by 10 or 15% is I think senior management owes it to their workforce and to their agency to really investigate with GSA the schedules program and what it has to offer. Instead of moving around and issuing edict that we need to save 10%, 8%, 5% or whatever in procurement costs, I think senior management needs to engage in what their own recommendations or what their own objectives are. And I think by them reaching out to GSA, which as you and I know, is there to serve the federal government, reaching out to the administrator or the senior acquisition folks, I think it's Mary Davies now as acting commissioner. And there's also a new commissioner at PBS as well. And so they have these folks in place now. And I think by other agencies reaching out and saying, you know, I want you all to come in here and share with us what you have and explain the mechanics, in this case, of the schedules program, how we can utilize the FAR ordering procedures, and what's the good way of getting a lower price or a better deal than the schedules. If someone tells me that the schedules does not offer fair and reasonable price and they've used them, then I'd say shame on them. They're the ones who failed to really get the deal. Not GSA, not the schedules program. It's the person who actually initiated the order and awarded the order. If they didn't get a better price on schedule, then shame on them. And I think shame on them is basically the lack of training, and the senior management should apply and should allow that training to occur and should really, I think the sooner that they could grasp that as an opportunity to immediately have cost savings, I think there would be a better role for GSA and those agencies to work together to get back into strategic acquisition and move away from strategic sourcing.
Well, to your point, I guess what you're really sort of advocating is that GSA has invested a lot in training on how to use the schedules. They've done, they have online training. They actually do go and do training on site for people on the schedules program. That seems to me is that where there's an opportunity there. That's all through that industrial funding fee.
Exactly. I mean, I think GSA has, I know GSA has taken a lot of criticism over the past 4 or 5 months, but I think people need to step back for that and also recognize GSA has done a hell of a job in many other areas. And excuse my, I get a little emotional.
That's okay. I don't think that'll get bleeped. I think that's okay to say.
But, GSA has done a great job in serving the customer. Right now, they're in a kind of a political firestorm, and the employees have really taken a lot of heat on that. But getting to the programs themselves and what they do day in and day out offers significant value to the federal government, and the word's just not getting out there, in a proper way. But you get to the basics of the program, and we're talking about procurement here, Roger. There's a great opportunity for GSA. I know they've done a lot on webinars. To your point, they've done a lot of classroom training online, but they also have customer service directors who are in local areas that can go and train the government, and they need to immediately reach out to GSA, and then they will, as a result of that and getting training on the schedules, they'll immediately start to see a savings.
Well, to I guess what you're really talking about when you're talking about all these things, it's Dan Tangerlini, he's referred to GSA as the savings agency, and these investments that we're talking about in the training and on effective use of GSA's programs. And I would say not just the schedules, like the GWACs, the credit card, travel services, people don't understand all the things that GSA buys collectively on behalf of the government or puts in place frameworks through which agencies can acquire goods and services. We're really talking about all those things, training on all those things, how to effectively use them, can leverage government and save the taxpayer a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, people are always going to say they can find a lower price. I think that's human nature. But I think when you roll up everything that GSA has to offer, to your point, cover all those programs from fleet, GWAC schedules, property management, and so forth, can GSA do a better job? Everybody can do a better job. But I think you need to actually take a look at what is there currently available to use by the federal government And it is pretty significant what they can roll out to any customer and provide savings to that customer, either the customer's resources or saving them dollars that are going to continue to get squeezed. And kind of the sooner everybody wakes up and says and gets along with each other and moves forward on this, I think the greater the opportunity is for meeting these sequestration, which could, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. But it, regardless of what does or doesn't happen there, this is the opportune time for change.
Well, are there, you know, with regard to change, are you there? I mean, you've hit a number of different things. You know, maybe could comment on the role of the GWACs in, you know, GSA's portfolio. I mean, they, you know, Alliant Small Business, they have the 8A STARS program. And to the point of contract duplication, GSA during, you know, the last decade actually did do a review of all its contract vehicles and tried to right size the numbers that they used to have, like 15 GWACs, I want to say. And if you count the schedules within that as one, now they're down to, you know, five or six, you know, and you count the schedules within that. And part of that was just reviewing them and seeing where, you know, there was duplication. Do you think a like contract vehicle review board or something like that would be appropriate?
Yeah, I hate to think we're going to have a contract review board, but anyway, I know that's a lawyer coming at it in you here. But anyway, for the viewers to know Roger, but anyway, I'm sure he's probably correct. But from an operational standpoint, I think this is a managerial role. I don't want to dwell a lot in my history here, but there was over 100 GSA schedules, and we ratcheted them down to 30. We did not have a review board. We did it as a management team and brought the leaders together, and we did it. So in this case, I think GSA, part of top-down review, would be a good opportunity. I think one aspect of the GWAC is, you know, and I think the listeners who are procurement geeks like us or thinking about it, you know, there's a lot that goes into a contract, and socioeconomic plays a big part of that. And so there's a role for that, and that is different than the private sector in many ways. And so I think GSA has should be applauded for the efforts they've made in the socioeconomic arena on the GWACs. And that's why there may seem to be a few more GWACs there, Roger, but they've also done that in the spirit of getting the small businesses
providing opportunities. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Bill, we have the last break of the show. So when we come back, we'll be talking more to Bill Gormley about opportunities for savings in our procurement system. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're talking to Bill Gormley, and we're talking about opportunities for savings in the federal procurement system, and particularly you've been talking a lot about GSA's programs and even more focusing on the GSA schedules program and opportunities there. And Bill, I know you had a couple other thoughts about the schedules in general, and it's the two C's, right? I think it's cooperative purchasing and a consolidated schedule. So what is cooperative purchasing?
Well, cooperative purchasing, Roger, I think we mentioned taxpayer a couple times in today's show here, and the taxpayer is impacted by state, local, as well as federal government. And so I think as public servants, or previously public servants, but you know, as public servants, yeah, everyone needs to look at how to save taxpayer money and leverage the taxpayer dollars. So Congress quite a few years ago was looking at cooperative purchasing and put it off. And then it came back after 9/11 for information technology and some security areas to allow states to use the Schedule 70 and like 84. And there's a few other ones on there as well. But I think there is consideration of opening.
Yeah, I think they can actually use all the schedules for disaster recovery.
For that, right. Yeah. And so I think I think part of what should be looked at is, and I know there had been consideration of opening all the schedules up for state and local governments. And that's on a voluntary basis on behalf of the GSA schedule contractors and as well as the state and local governments. But I think where everybody is financially now, you cannot afford duplication of any kind. And I think allowing the GSA schedules to be open is the right thing to do from a taxpayer standpoint. And I think from a GSA standpoint, you know, they may be like, whoa, how are we going to handle this onslaught of work? Well, you know, first off, you know, I think we mentioned earlier that, you know, there used to be actually almost 150 different scheduled programs. So there's less than 40 now. And I think they could even take that down further, Roger. And what I mean by that is, you know, there was a like consolidated schedule where if a company has the opportunity to, or has more than one schedule, they should be given the opportunity to put everything under one contract and cover multiple schedules. And, you know, we don't have enough time today, but I could get into the benefits, not only within GSA, you know, I think Tangerlini would be very much interested in that, to have a common negotiation, common terms and conditions throughout a $50 billion, in this case, $40 billion for GSA and $10 billion for VA program. It would streamline so many things internally at GSA, systems-wise, industrial funding fee-wise, report-wise, people who come in and do the on-site reviews and so forth. The IOA visits would just significantly reduce a lot of time and improve the speed of contract modifications and negotiations.
Well, and to your point about duplication, there's many states that, you know, essentially operate parallel universes. I don't know else to say it. Like, they have their own,
sure,
you know, schedules, yep, that are built off the GSA schedules.
Yes.
And, you know, to me, there's an opportunity there that would save, you know, those states money as well,
yeah,
if they were able to just utilize, you know, their buying activities across, you know, whatever state, you know, using GSA schedules instead of building entire new infrastructure that's essentially built off the schedules already.
Right. I mean, last time I looked, California was not in the surplus as far as budget. And they have, you know, a California, MAS program, MAS program. So Texas and some of the other large states. So this is where, I know we're talking about a big community. We're talking about a tremendous amount of change here, Roger. So we don't want to be naive and to expect to walk away from this program and think our views are going to be immediately accepted. But I will say that, you know, the time has come for pure financial reasons, if for no other reason, pure financial reasons alone, to really, for Congress, for senior management and government, to really take a look at and see what's currently available and how they can leverage it more, that will save resources, both monetarily as well as personnel, because it's going to be difficult for the government to grow in the acquisition community area based on all the constraints that are coming down.
Well, you know, we're talking about savings, and one of the things that the top-down review is going to look at is, you know, the fees that GSA charges, and whether they need to be adjusted or not. And you have experience with you. You're the one who established,
I think, the
industrial funding fee. And
yes,
it has been changed. And when I was there, it was changed at GSA. It was changed.
Yeah.
The one time it's changed, it was changed from 1% to 0.75%.
Right.
So I just was curious what your thoughts about, I think it's always good to do that kind of review and see where, if there's an opportunity to make savings. And you that's your responsibility as a manager. And I think it's a good thing that Administrator Tangerlini is looking at it, but I'd like to get your thoughts.
Well, I wish we had time to get into all the mechanics of this, but the cliff notes on this, so to speak, is everything we've talked about here would enable the schedules program to grow, thereby enabling easily for GSA to reduce the IFF. So, you know, for the listeners here, this is a no-brainer. This gets down to the bottom line. It is a way to reduce the industrial funding fee. And I used to have, when I was in government, and it was 1% when we started out, and it went to 3/4, which it is today. And I used to go and talk to folks, and if once you get the emotions out of it, Roger, people start to understand, you know, it's not the IFF is not a reason not to use the program. If someone can't negotiate a better than a 0.75% additional discount, plus look at their overall internal cost savings, it far outweighs that the IFF is an invaluable. I mean, it is a significant savings to everybody. And, you know, with GSA Advantage, eBuy, eLibrary, and all the e-tools that have come off of this through GSA's IFF, I mean, it's a winner. So using the schedules more, as we've talked about, and I also, you know, I think I've said it earlier, the schedules is not the cure all for everything. So I just want to go on record here, Roger, because sometimes people will catch me later on.
Yeah, they say, that's all you want to talk about.
That's all you want to talk about. Well, and there's $50 billion programs. So it's pretty large. So, you know, I don't mind talking about it, but it's not the cure all. But it's a way, getting back to the IFF, it's clearly a way, and Dan Tangerlini, you know, is having them look at that. It is a big deal, you know, to migrate, you know, to have any changes in that, because it changes systems, you know, through all the contractors and in government. But at the end of the day, the government, by everything we've talked about earlier, through education, should be able to get a better deal on their schedule that clearly offsets the IFF. And the IFF should be off the table as a main reason not to use the schedules program.
Okay. Well, you know, Bill, we've just about reached the end of our time, and it's been energizing, to say the least. And we're just focusing on GSA programs and the opportunity to save money in the GSA sphere. You know, I want to give you a chance to have any final thoughts with regard to the opportunity to provide savings. I think one of the key things we didn't get to talk about too much is requirements development and commitments to use. I'd like you just your final thoughts on
that. Yeah, I think there should be, while we talked about training for the acquisition community, but also the program management folks. I mean, I don't know. I mean, our pie in the sky is the, it would be nice if the contracting officer received a clear, well-written requirements before, you know, and before they put any procurement out. I'm pretty much the glass is always half full or overflowing. In this area, I'm going to say the glass is maybe close to half full. It's tough to get the program manager people because they just aren't, they're looking at getting their program up and running. They're looking at whatever their responsibilities are. And when the need comes up, it may not be the type of need that could be planned ahead of time. So people are going to come out saying pretty much, you know, I want to get, you know, this type of product in here or service, and I need it immediately. And I can't tell you, I used to have when I was in head of procurement there, you know, people would come in and say, if it wasn't for contracting, everything would be great in government.
Well, you know, I think I could turn that around and say without contracting and procurement support, the government wouldn't be able to meet its mission, right?
Totally.
Fundamentally, yeah.
Touché.
So, hey, Bill, I want to thank Bill Gormley for joining me on the show today. You've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.